You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is The Final Word.
Good evening, I'm Jenna Harner, and welcome to The Final Word, the show that invites you, the fans, into the conversation. You can get your opinion on TV right here every Sunday night. A very happy Father's Day, too, to all of the dads and father figures out there today and every day. Now let's get started by introducing you to tonight's two panelists. We're switching things up a little bit. From our partner, DKFitzerSports.com, Dayan Kovacevic.
Jenna, on behalf of the city of Philadelphia, I'd like to wish Sidney Crosby a very happy Father's Day.
We're going to hear that a little bit more throughout the show. And from the Trib and Steelers radio host, Tim Benz.
Well, in honor of Ralph Kiner, let me paraphrase and say to all your fathers out there, happy birthday.
Incredible. Well, some of the topics we'll be talking about tonight. Five words on if the Steelers defense will be elite this season. The best father-son, father-daughter combos in sports. The Pirates calling up O'Neal Cruz. And will Derek Shelton be the right manager for the Pirates? But first, the night's big topic. With Minkah Fitzpatrick officially signed, what should be the Steelers' next big move? Dan, kick us off here.
I'm going to go with N/A. I don't believe that there is a big move to be had. And I know there's a good faction of the fan base that wants to see Deontay Johnson signed to a second contract. I am not in that faction. I would rather see the Steelers let Deontay show that he's a true number one and go ahead and bite my head off for that, because he was number 10 in the NFL in catches and all that other stuff. I don't see him as a real number one, somebody who draws double coverage, who makes defenses respect him. I would rather see the Steelers, A, sign Chris Boswell to an extension. That one is a big one, I believe, for this team. And B, go and get themselves a defensive end to replace Stephon Tuitt. They really didn't do that.
Yeah, lots of comments saying that as well. Tim, your thoughts on what the Steelers' next big move should be?
They didn't replace Stephon Tuitt, but I think they're better girded for his absence with Leal, and at least for the time being, having a healthy Tyson Alualu. I would say, and again, I wouldn't use the word big for this, but it could prove to be big if T.J. Watt or Alex Highsmith get hurt. Mm-hmm. I say go out and get depth at the outside linebacker position, if not one, maybe two guys even. They're still thin there, much like they were last year. In other words, what I'm trying to say is get a Melvin Ingram who actually wants to be here. And maybe after that, get a backup running back.
Yeah.
And maybe after that, get some depth at corner so you can mix and match some more. But I say start with pass rushing depth, especially, hey, we saw it when T.J. Watt missed games or even portions of games, the Steelers' defense really lagged.
Glad you mentioned the running back, Tim, although that one's not going to be expensive. We know that. You just wait until somebody's cut at the end of camp.
Do we think David Johnson's coming to Pittsburgh, guys?
No.
I don't know about that, but it's got to be somebody capable and somebody that Mike Tomlin trusts to take Najee Harris off the field. That's got to be part of the component, too, their willingness to take Najee off to put the other guy in.
Yeah, we heard some of the conversations during minicamp and OTAs that there may be times this season where we do see Najee come off the field a little bit more than usual, and hopefully that is to preserve the running back that he is. Well, a reminder, you can keep the comments coming. You can find us on Twitter at WPXI Final Word, on Facebook at The Final Word, and now it's time for five words. Give us five words on whether this Steelers defense will be elite this season. On Facebook, Dan Finnegan saying they will be just fine. Mark on Twitter, not without some run stoppers. And back to Facebook, Brian saying, ask me again in November. That seems like a good answer. Day in your five words.
Yeah, still need more up front. I say this because not just, as I'd mentioned, getting somebody to, you don't replace Stephon Tuitt. He was playing right at Cam Hayward's level in his last season with the Steelers. He was extraordinary. You're not just going to go magically find that. But what you need to do is you need to make sure that you have someone next to Cam Hayward who can be trusted to not all three downs, but at least two downs. You got to be capable of getting to the quarterback and of stopping the run. Tim mentioned DeMarvin Leal, and while he's intriguing, he's not a guy who comes with run-stopping background at Texas A&M. Isaiah Loudermilk is the opposite of that. He's a run-stopper, but hasn't shown that he can get to the quarterback. So they got to find some kind of hybrid combination there or go spend some money on it.
Tim, your five words.
Can the 2022 Steelers defense be elite? My five-word answer to that is, well, it wasn't last year. They've got three elite players. They've got Hayward, they've got Fitzpatrick, and of course they've got TJ Watt. It's the other eight guys or the combination thereafter on depth that is not elite. And their numbers were far from elite. Last in the NFL against the run. There's 20th against points and 24th overall. Number 10 against the pass, but that was partially because why would teams pass and expose their quarterback to TJ Watt and Cam Hayward when it was so darn easy to run the ball? Let's not confuse elite talent at every level of the defense with every level of the defense being elite. It's far from that. We saw a lot of Twitter kicking around and, you know, the national talk shows and even here in Pittsburgh, conversation about that disparity between the offense and the defense, the payroll. The Steelers defense now the highest paid defense in the NFL, the offense the lowest paid offense. To me, that's a little bit misplaced, some of the conversation there. I look at that offensive half of the stat and I say,
yeah,
you know,
they're
what?
All kids.
They're addressing the offense by draft choices. Where I look at that stat and my ears go up and my eyebrows go up is about the defense. You need more bang for your buck for that defense.
Well, you
then.
Do, Tim, but I think the one guy that I feel like it's not right to lower the bar on Devin Bush. I don't think that's
right.
You need to have it still up here. That's not to suggest he belongs with the three players that you mentioned. He's got to earn it. But that's where the bar should be for what the Steelers gave up in draft capital to get him.
Well, don't go anywhere. When we come back, we are talking Father's Day. Who are some of the best father-son or father-daughter combos in sports? On Twitter, definitely figured this was probably one we'd see. Bobby and Barry Bonds. Final word. We'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Seems the final word.
Welcome back to The Final Word. I promise we will talk some baseball this segment, but first, a fitting Father's Day topic. Who are the best father-son, father-daughter combos? There we go. Combine those two. In sports, Tim, we'll start with you.
All right, I'll give you one from every major North American sport here. We just did the Bonzes, so I'll go the Griffies in baseball, the Currys in basketball, Dell and Steph. Football will go the Mannings, and hockey will go the Hulls. How about that?
I love it. Well, we're going to go to Twitter. Not going to lie, this one made me laugh. Douglas saying Big Ben and the Browns. We also got Sidney Crosby and the Flyers. Dan.
Yeah, I'm going to go, first of all, with Tim and Jack Suwinski, because Tim, his dad, was there today at PNC Park to watch Jack hit three homers, one of the greatest Father's Day things in baseball history. So I'm going to take one from each of the three Pittsburgh franchises, starting with Cam and Ironhead Hayward. Obviously, we lost Ironhead far too soon, but he was on track to be a great, great player. Cam is exactly what he is. From the hockey standpoint, mostly just because I know them. I'm taking Ryan and Greg Malone, both with the Penguins here. Why not, right?
Why not?
And then from there, how can you not take Charlie and Ke'Bryan Hayes? Now, Charlie was never a great player, but Charlie was a third baseman for the Pirates, and Ke'Bryan's going to be here for an awful long time. So there, how's that?
Love that. Continuing on the family legacy. Well, we'll head over to PNC Park. Derek Shelton making things official earlier this afternoon. O'Neill Cruz will be called up to the bigs. Now, the big question I feel like a lot of people have been tossing around, have the Pirates waited too long to bring up one of baseball's top prospects? Dan, I know you have some thoughts here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they absolutely did. And, you know, there's some misconceptions about this. I hear people say, well, that they did it just so that they could retain an extra year of his services before he goes to free agency. That ship sailed after 1 week. This was done only to save money years down the road, and to me, that's just not worth it. Now, yes, did Cruz have some things that he needed to work on in Indianapolis? Yes, and he showed that when he went down there and basically hit 200 and was having a rough time. Could that have been handled in Pittsburgh? Sure, absolutely it could have. Look, he's going to be here tomorrow night. He's joining Jack Sawinski. They look like they've got four of their everyday eight for the future in the lineup. So at least it's starting to get fun.
Rick on Facebook emphatically saying, yes, he will bring some much needed power to the lineup. Tim, your thoughts?
Well, let me underscore where Deion went with the money angle, because it's not like in Indianapolis everything was corrected and they said, oh, now it's time to bring him up.
Right.
You know, so I think that's the point to kind of dovetail with what Deion was saying that needs to be remembered here. Now, you know, down the road, when we look back, are we going to say, oh, they called him up a couple weeks or a couple months too late? Probably not. Let's hope not, that he's good and he's worth it. We forget that it happened, because this season isn't going to go anywhere anyway. And the absence of him from earlier in the season isn't going to be the determining factor in any of that. But, you know, for all the folks who are saying, I'll go out to the park when they start bringing in the kids that I'm supposed to root for and follow in the future, they're starting to come. I don't know if it's 4 of 8 like Deion said, but they're starting to come.
Oh, I got 4, Tim. I mean, between Hayes, Reynolds, Cruz.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about guys. I was not counting Hayes and Reynolds because they had signed already.
No, I'm talking about half of their everyday eight, I think it's fair to say, is up here. And I'm not ready to put guys like, you know, Diego Castillo and whatever into that bracket. Someday you're going to see Henry Davis and Nick Gonzalez and Leo Verpagero for good up here, but it's getting there.
Well, it truly does seem like it has been call up after call up for the Pirates. Young bucks continuing to make their debuts. Now, will Derek Shelton be the right manager for the Pirates once things get better, Tim?
Well, once they get better is an assumption that they will. I don't know that they will. If they do, that's really hard to say. I don't know. It's very hard for me, and always has been ever since I've been covering the Pirates since 2001, to operate outside of the vacuum when it comes to the managerial decisions and managerial evaluation. Mm-hmm. The easiest guy to evaluate was Clint Hurdle, because the games mattered for the most part when Clint Hurdle was here. It's hard to evaluate Derek Shelton's baseball acumen still, but once they get good enough, hopefully they get good enough to the point about the manager's ability mattering. I don't know. I still can't tell with Derek Shelton yet.
Yeah, it's really hard. And take this from somebody who really likes and respects the guy. Until we see him, as Tim was saying, flip the switch and start making moves that are based on urgency and winning that day's game instead of, oh, hey, here's Yu Chang. We brought in this guy. He's absolutely terrible, but we want to see what he's got. Now, to some extent, like Tim is saying, how much of that do you lay on Shelton when the GM is telling him, we didn't bring this guy in here for you to just sit him because he stinks. You got to roll him out there. That's a tough call. But I will say this. This is year 3 of this group in general. And if you go back and look at Clint Hurdle's tenure that Tim referenced, Clint was hired in 2011. The blackout game happened in 2013. Clint helped to make that happen to an extent.
Well, Jared on Twitter says, I doubt it. He has made some fairly baffling lineup decisions already, like you were alluding to there, Dan. Imagine how frustrating it would get if they ever become competitive. Well, we continue to await the word on the NFL's potential discipline for Deshaun Watson. A Washington Post article reporting this week there's a chance they're looking to suspend the Browns quarterback for 1 year. Understanding this is a very sensitive topic, what should the NFL do about Deshaun Watson, Dan?
Well, I do think that the NFL should look across the aisle at what Major League Baseball did. And when you're talking about, who was it?
Bauer?
Trevor Bauer. That got suspended, really, I mean, for 2 years, but they basically told him to just get lost. If you take a look at Bauer's charges and what happened in that situation, and you line them up with Watson's look worse. Now, that said, again, like you said, Jenna, this is sensitive, and we're not in a spot here where we can say, oh, this happened and this happened. Mm-hmm. We don't know. But if it turns out the way that it appears, the NFL wouldn't be out of line to try something very similar with Watson going beyond a year, I think going to the 2 years that baseball put in for Bauer.
Well, from Twitter, the gray area says what they should do and what they will do are two entirely different things, and I'm confident what they will do will make a mockery out of the league. Tim, your thoughts?
Well, the only thing that would make a mockery out of the league, and I've actually heard this one advanced, is that they, quote-unquote, let the civil process work itself out. And then next year suspend him because he's actually going to make money next year.
Yeah,
he's making no money this year, and people are saying, well, gee, if you suspend him for even the whole year, what's that going to do with his paycheck? He's not making much this year anyway. Everything in his contract comes after this year. They can't do that. What they can do, though, and I think, again, Dayon was sort of getting at this too, is that the NFL isn't the court of law. Okay, the NFL can do suspension-wise what it thinks is best for the league, and they don't have to worry about what the civil courts do. They proved this with Ben Roethlisberger.
Yes, they did.
Mm-hmm. You know, when they suspended him for 6 and then down to 4, they can kind of make their own rules here. It's up to the NFLPA to then decide how vigorously they want to defend whatever decision comes down for Watson.
I would just hope, Tim, that after all this time, that Roger Goodell specifically would have learned from Ray Rice, you know?
Yeah, but and the other thing I was going to say to that is, you know, the NFL can risk it and say, okay, we're going to suspend him for a year, but it's worth it for us to do that and maybe take a hit financially if we lose in court, if we're sued, but it's worth it for us to suspend him for that long. They could do that.
Lots of great points here. Well, when we come back, we are going around the horn on any topic. The final word is coming up next.
This is The Final Word.
It's time now for the final word. Everyone gets a chance. Dan, you're up first.
I'm kind of torn about this Stanley Cup final, Jenna, because on one hand, it's a blast watching the Avalanche. On the other hand, you're seeing something that's just such a predictable outcome. When you're seeing Nathan MacKinnon at his very best, Cale Makar looking like the very best defenseman the NHL has seen since Bobby Bleeping Orr, there's something special going on. On the other hand, it's not much of a series because the Lightning are just not going to be a match for this team. And you know what? No one else was going to be either, including the local club.
Tim, your final word.
George Washington University is going to change its name from Colonials. Robert Morris was asked if they would do the same thing, and they didn't say no. Now, I'm not here to defend the word Colonials or the mascot Colonials. What I am here to defend is the friggin' dictionary. It's not the same word as colonizers. Folks, that was used as a joke in the final season of Brockmire, and now we're living it. Colonials, as Robert Morris has used it, is a reference to the colonial army, which I read something about this, fought for democracy and freedom from tyranny. It's not the same thing, okay? They shouldn't feel the need to change the name, and I don't think, for that matter, that George Washington should have either.
Oh, my goodness.
I love it. I love
the passion. Top that.
Well, now our final word from social media. Dayon, this will be interesting for your thoughts. From friend of the show, Joey Bag of Donuts, Stanley Cup final will be tied 2 games apiece after game 4.
Money down on that one, Joe. Come on.
Oh, big yike. And for my final word tonight, a happy Father's Day to all the dads, all the father figures, and people who fill the role of a patriarch out there. We can't thank you enough for all you've done for us to raise us, guide us, teach us, and show us how much you love us. Shout out to all the girl dads as well, especially my dad. There truly aren't words for the impact you've had on my life. All the lacrosse tournaments you drove me 6 hours to, all the overtime hockey games you put on for us to watch just because, and all the ways you've inspired me to be the best version of myself that I could be. Have a great night, everyone.